Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is doing infinitely more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Good morning. Last Tuesday morning, after the night of heavy rain, I awoke to gray skies and headed out for my early morning power walk. I zigzagged through a few neighborhoods to my favorite spot, the top of 17th Street in San Pedro that overlooks the harbor. Huge clouds hung in the sky, allowing very little sun to peek through. But one patch did, and it shot through the clouds and spread out on the gray ocean floor with the harbor waters stretched out before me. It was so bright and dazzling in comparison with the gray overcast colors that I could only glance briefly at the sheer intensity of the light on the water. But I was attracted to it and kept taking quick looks at that amazing patch of light on the dark ocean waters. The view was so awesome, I felt close to God. I always get a God feeling when I see the effects of sunlight in nature. I imagine each of you have favorite times of the day or places in nature that just remind you of the presence of God, helps you feel close to God. I'm especially in spiritual awe of sunset time. The clouds in the sky and those amazing colors of yellows, pinks, and oranges reflecting off the sea. I often fall silent in the presence of such incredible sunlit beauty. The presence of God seems so close. Now, there was quite a light show of clouds and color in today's readings. Moses wanted to be close to God like a moth is drawn to a flame. Moses got so close to the burning light of God in the bush, he didn't even realize when he came down the mountain that the skin of his face was shining. So much so that the people who saw Moses were afraid to look at him directly. We're not talking about a sunburn. We're talking about the effects of God's glory on the person of Moses. Time with God will shine through you. In our gospel, the apostles were spellbound, amazed at that bright and dazzling light that was shining through Jesus. Jesus enveloped in a light that seemed not of this world. He glowed from within. The light transfigured him. Now, Peter blurted out what was on his mind. He wanted this moment to last. "Let's build dwellings," he said, "and stay here forever." But the intense light burning within Christ was not meant for them alone. And suddenly clouds descended upon them, surrounding them, blocking out the amazing light that had just captivated them. In their dramatic shift, the cloud terrified them. The light was gone. No sunset colors produced in the clouds. Instead, the voice of God announced, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." And Jesus stood plainly before them. They had seen the light of God, and a message had been heard. But apparently, they didn't know what to do with it. And the gospel says, they told no one of the things they had seen. So they left the mountain of ecstasy and entered reality. But isn't that how it actually is? Our glory moments, our aha moments, don't last. For instance, after years of hard work in college or on a work project, there is incredible joy and satisfaction. But soon enough, the challenge of finding a job or clearing the next hurdle at work stares us in the face. The Winter Olympics are going on in Vancouver. Now, the gold medal winner of an event gets to stand on the highest podium and hear their national anthem. Once the music ends, the interview's finished, the TV shifts to the next event. Reality is always moving us out of the clouds of glory into the currents of life. Shifts can happen so quickly. In fact, a friend of mine was called into her employer's office last week and told her hours would be cut in half. She now goes home after a half days of work, soberly realizing she needs to find a second job, make some course corrections. Her pattern of life changed in one sentence. In the midst of our trials and tribulations, our souls hunger for flashes of light in our darkness, God moments to reassure us that we are not alone. Things will be okay. I imagine you feel like I do sometimes. You wake up and feel tired just thinking of the day ahead, the situations that need to be considered, the administrative work that needs attention, the people you need to see or call, and the errands that need to get done. Sometimes you might even feel nervous or overwhelmed by it all. How am I possibly going to fit it all in? I am learning that unless I take time to be with God each morning, my efforts lack the power of love. In fact, the more I need to do, the more I need to get close to God. God doesn't need us to be more perfect, but more loving. God doesn't ask us to be more productive, but more faithful. When the apostles had come down from their mountaintop experience, they too walked right into a tough situation. A dad was frustrated, beside himself with anxiety over the health of his son. Today we would probably diagnose his son's disease as severe epilepsy. Now this dad complained to Jesus that his disciples had failed to cure his son. Jesus responded with frustration. He berated his followers for lacking faith, for failing to believe in the power he was handing on to them. Sometimes we fail at believing in the possibilities right in front of us. We don't believe that our vision, dreams, or potential is really possible. Yet with God, all things are possible. Last week, Krista preached that when the apostles let go of control, they received more than they would have imagined possible. But how do we get the power we need, or the vision to follow, or the light for a new way forward? Get close to God. Both Jesus and Moses went up to the mountain to pray, and in prayer got close to God. I was with a group of people the other night. We were having a dialogue homily on this gospel. In the midst of our sharing, a man in his 30s spoke up. He is a manager at Starbucks and was feeling that he needed to be doing more for God than working at Starbucks. But all of a sudden, he realized that what made his job a ministry was that he tried to be a light for others, a bright spot in their day, and was delighted when he could see a happy face smile back at him. All of a sudden, he regarded being the manager at Starbucks a privilege that allowed him to brighten the lives of others, and they in turn brightened his. You could almost hear him sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Revelation is not always easy to believe. There was a church in the South Bronx that received a new pastor years ago. The name of the church was Transfiguration Lutheran Church. The new pastor arrived to find that the church community was struggling, barely surviving. The church grounds were in an area of poverty, crime, and drug abuse. There was poor education in the schools and opportunity for jobs scarce. So the Church of Transfiguration mostly kept its doors shut. Now this church community changed when they did what Jesus did. The pastor recounted that when Peter and the others came down the mountain and found the father and child gasping for life, and Jesus had rebuked the demon in the boy and healed the boy and gave him back to his father, that was when they all found Transfiguration. And so it was. When the people of Transfiguration Lutheran Church got close to God and they unlocked their doors in that South Bronx neighborhood, unlocked the doors of their private world and stepped out into the pain of the neighborhood, began to listen to and respect what their neighbors had to say, participated in community meetings, offered hospitality, lent a hand when physical help was needed, that's when they also discovered Transfiguration as a congregation through helping others. I think our parish of St. Francis has begun a process of transfiguration. It began with a parish profile of a few years ago. We were asked to define who we are, what is our vision of church, and what do we think God is calling us to. We are now in a process of discerning answers to these questions and to open the doors of this church to the world around us. And in the midst of our vision and hope, we will face challenges. For instance, how do we let go of fears over church budget issues, underfunded programs, and staff positions? How are we to let our light shine if we sense darkness? Well, God calls us to open the doors of our hearts, to listen, get close, and open the doors of our church to the mystery and power of God's light breaking in, and discover Transfiguration as a congregation by helping one another and others. God's answer for us, for the way forward, is to listen and to try to see things differently. The transfigured Jesus was changed not in essence, but in the way he was seen. Seeing Jesus differently, as the apostles did, means seeing oneself and others differently too. Staying on a mountaintop was and is not the point of the transfiguration of Jesus. It was never meant as a private experience. It was a vision that would help the apostles believe in the mystery and power of God's presence in the world. Draw close to God. Listen. Be like Moses and become radiant because of time spent with God. Maybe you have been drifting away from the light, trying to accomplish things in the dark. Lent can be a time for some course corrections. Both Moses and Jesus went up to the mountain to pray and were transfigured. Let Lent be a time for some intentional prayer and become a beacon of God's light. The glory and light of God's presence and the pain in your heart and a broken world are not meant to be separate. And when you feel clouds all around you, look for the patch of God's light in the midst of it all. Transfiguration happens when we let the light of God in and help others find the light, the presence of God, and in the process, we are all transfigured. Amen.